Good morning. This is the Faith Builders program coming to you from Oasis Christian Center, a family church in Smith Station, Alabama. We invite you to listen to Pastor Rock as he ministers the Word of God to us. Our church is a non-denominational Word of Faith church. We hope that this program is a blessing to you and that you will tell your friends and relatives to tune in. Now here is Pastor Rock.
Praise the Lord. Wow, that was all good. That's okay. I'm not going to look at the timer anyway. I'm the one that put the timer up there. I put it there for me, actually. But I don't ever look at it anyway, so hallelujah. Y'all know the first thing that I would tell you if Pastor Sharon was here, she would say, would you please share the service? So I'm going to ask you to get your cell phones out and just start sharing the service to your Facebook page or to your social media. And I want to thank y'all for doing it because you greatly, our views and stuff is going way up. People are seeing it that have never seen it before, and I assure you the Word of God is getting much further out than it was before. And I appreciate y'all doing what you're doing on that. And we also appreciate the comments and stuff that y'all are leaving. It's so good, and it just blesses us so much. And so, now I said all that to say this. Today, I want to give you some specific instructions. We're still going to do the confession that Pastor Sharon would do, but I'm going to give you some specific instructions on reverence in the Spirit today. You know, we've taught about reverence in the Spirit five services, and we are going to, as the Lord gets us back, as He wants it, His will, we will do some more of that. But I'm going to give you some just a little tidbits right now. Like again, doing your Facebook, you know, your comments and stuff like that, we love that. We appreciate that. But I'm going to ask you to reverence the Spirit by not doing other stuff. I mean, you're actually part of the service. You're doing the service. You're greeting the visitors. You're doing that. And that's a part of the service. But if you're checking the weather and, you know, what somebody's posted on their other Facebook page at this time, and you're just seeing where you're going to eat after church, I'm telling you, that's not proper reverence of the Spirit. Can y'all agree with what I'm saying? Amen. And I'm going to ask you not to do those things, but to stay in the service. I mean, I appreciate you using your phones to share and to comment. I think it makes a great deal of help when you're commenting on the things and when you're sharing it. So I'm also going to ask that you don't move around unnecessarily. I understand we all have to go to the bathroom and different stuff, but any unnecessary movement, if we don't have to do it at the time, we're going to reverence the Spirit in a greater way. That's what we've been learning, because if we reverence Him in a greater way, we see greater glory. And so we're going to see that more and more in our services. I've already seen it in our services. No unnecessary talking in the services, if we can help it. Y'all say amen, stuff like that, that's part of the service. I understand that. But I'm just kind of giving us some things that will help us experience God in a greater level. Now I want to confess over you something today. And we know Pastor Sharon would be confessing, but I'm going to confess this. It just came to me this morning. I declare over you Jeremiah 30:17. I declare over that to you today. I will restore health to thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. And so I speak wholeness over you today, spirit, soul, and body. I speak wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken. I declare whole in every area of insecurity in your life, every area of sickness in your life, every area of problems in your mind. I declare wholeness, problems in your body, problems with family members. I declare wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken over you in the name of Jesus, according to the authority of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm going to start out with a scripture, Philippians 1:6. And this is not part of our scripture. I'm just telling you this is a pre-scripture scripture, okay? I pray with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this glorious work in you will faithfully continue the process of maturing you until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the Passion Translation. And that's what the Lord is doing with us. He's maturing us. He's growing us up. Now, our first scripture today is going to be Proverbs 16 and 2. This is in the Amplified. And it's, all of the ways of man are clean and innocent in his own eyes, and he may see nothing wrong with his actions. But the Lord weighs and examines the motives and intents of the heart and knows the truth. Now, let me qualify this. I've been studying on this for a while and really been doing a lot of word studies on it. And then Wanda Phillips comes and teaches Wednesday night. And part of your teaching, I was taking notes on the teaching. It was very good teaching. But as you were teaching, there's one phrase, it jumped out at me. And that phrase was, God is concerned with the why. And that was the first part of that phrase. God is concerned with the why we do what we do. And I was like, that is exactly what I've been studying. And it just resonated on the inside of me. And it just exploded. I said, I knew I was teaching that direction today. I knew it. I've been studying and praying for it for a while. But it just, it exploded, and it was a confirmation again to me about that. Now, Proverbs 16 and 2 in the Easy to Read version says, people think that whatever they do is right, but the Lord judges their reason for doing it. Amen. Oh, wow. Amen. Okay, all right. Let's just go to a basic one. The basic one is, it's good to dress nice and come to church. But some people, their motive is to be seen of men dressing nice, and it's not about church. Their inward motive is not about church. Can you see what I'm talking about? It's about the new suit, the new dress, the new shoes. Those are good things. Those are blessings from God. But that what can't be what it's about. See, and that's messed up. And we got to see that that's messed up. If that's the only reason somebody's going, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in churches today, that is the only reason they're going. And that's just messed up. I appreciate y'all drawing the way you are. Okay, this is the same scripture, Proverbs 16 and 2. This is in the Passion. It helps me when I give different scriptures that speak to me. We're all in love with our own opinions. Everybody, you may as well raise your hand. Because everybody in here is in love with their own opinions. They say they're not, but they are. We're all in love with our own opinions, convinced they're correct. I was telling Ish the other day about a shirt I saw, and it said something about somebody was arguing with somebody else, and it said, I knew you were right 10 minutes ago, but I wasn't about to tell you. You know, thank you very much. I just thought I don't know where that came from. It says, we're convinced that we're correct, but the Lord is in the midst of us, testing and probing our every motive. As they say, that dog will hunt. That phrase will preach. It's got God all over it. Now I'm going to take out a lot of areas. I'm going to show us some stuff by the Holy Spirit. He's really given me a wide range of stuff today to touch on. Colossians 3 and 22. And we've been here. And there's a phrase that I wanted to teach already, but I couldn't teach it yet. And today I'm going to be able to dig down a little bit on that phrase. And like I say, I've touched this scripture several times. Let every employee listen well and follow the instructions of their employer, not just when their employers are watching, and not in pretense. Now that's the word we're digging down on. Not in pretense, but faithful in all things. For we are to live our lives, here's the other one, with pure hearts in the constant awe and wonder of our Lord God. Now that was Colossians 3:22 in the Passion. Now we're going to take that same scripture in the Easy to Read. Servants, obey your masters in everything. Obey all the time, even when they can't see you. Get this. Don't just pretend to work hard so that they will treat you well. No, you must serve your masters honestly because you respect the Lord. Now, the word pretense is pretending. It's a wrong motive. So the example is an employee pretending to work when they're really not. An attempt to make something that is not appear true. It's not the case, but in pretense, you're making it appear true. The thing that they gave, the example they gave in the dictionary was, his anger is masked by the pretense that all is well. That's good. Pretense. Pretending you're really working when the boss is watching, when you aren't. Or you're talking, or you're playing games on the phone, or you're doing things that are not your job, on your boss's or your company time. I know, this is good though. It's really good. I know it's getting heavy, but it's good. Okay. They're only in pretense, you're only working in front of the boss that you can see. You're working up a storm in front of that boss, but as soon as he leaves, you're not working. In fact, to his eyes, you may appear to be a hard worker and the most loyal employee. And when the boss is there, you're showing respect, you're showing honor, you are just all behind him. But he don't know that you're behind his back. And you're stabbing him in the back. And you're listening to people stab him in the back. Thank you very much. Things look one way to the boss, but inwardly the employee is stirring up strife and division against him. The inward motive is to stir that strife and possibly to take that job of that boss if he can. This is good. Ephesians 6 and 5. Now I'm talking to you workers, you people that have to work for other people all the time. Your bosses are only people, but that doesn't matter. You have to respect them properly and do whatever they tell you. Work hard for them like you are working for Jesus Christ. Now, here's an area that I want to get to really bad. It's the PEV version of the same scripture, and I'm just going to read a portion of this scripture. Your bosses are only people, but try to work properly for them, like you're working for Jesus, not working for people. Remember this, now here it is. If you do good things, Jesus, our leader, will pay you with something good later. Okay, now what is he really talking about there? And I'll tell you what I'm gathering that he's talking. He's talking about you're going to be rewarded. You know, the Bible tells us we're rewarded in this life and we're rewarded in the next. And I believe he's referring to the judgment seat of Christ. That's where we're going to receive our rewards. And he's talking about if you do this with a proper motive to your employer, it's you know, we think everything's spiritual. It's all about the church. It's about everything about us. It's everything. It's our motive in every single area of our lives. And all of us fall short in some of these areas. We're all in this same boat together. But he's saying, I can't reward you if your motive is not pure. Like in the boss situation, he's telling them, don't be men pleasers. Don't do it in pretense. If you're going to do it. But don't act like you're doing it and not doing it. Okay? Now this I got off Facebook. I'm not sure who this person is. It's Michelle Stewart. And I made a copy of this. I forget what you call that when you took a picture of it. But I took a picture of it off Facebook, off somebody's page. No, it was something posted, not off somebody's page. But it says, lately the Lord has taken me down a path of motives. This was several weeks ago. If love isn't the motivation of your heart, then anything good you're doing is really clanging cymbals before Him. Wow. Now, I started to ask Juan before the service to clang some cymbals when we were teaching today, but I said, well, that may be a little over the top. I won't do it today. So I still want to do a sermon on love and have Juan on the drums doing the cymbals. Thank you very much. Thought it'd be cool. 1 Corinthians 13 and 3, it says, if I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr, without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Now let's just hit some specific areas. Someone could give you a prophecy with a wrong motive to direct you or manipulate you in some way. Now I know I'm not speaking of any specific thing, but I've seen it before. I've seen it years ago. I've seen it quite often, actually. Sometimes people will want somebody to do a certain thing and they'll manipulate them with that prophecy because they think that every word that a personal prophecy is from God, and that's not true. Because the person can put a hook in it. The person is coming through God's vessel. Okay, we're being used by the Lord. We're yielding to the Lord and being used in that vein, but we are imperfect vessels. So the Lord may want to say something one way, and we put it out another way, and yet it has a lot of the same meaning, but then we also have a personal little interpretation or a little hook we're going to put in there because we don't think they should do this or they should do that, and we just stick it in there. Thank you. If you've ever had it done to you, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? So there could be a wrong motive in prophecy, and that's the reason the Bible says you judge all prophecy. You don't just take it firsthand, it's 100%. That's God. We welcome prophecy. Don't misunderstand where I'm coming from. I'm qualifying this. We welcome prophecy. But at the same time, understand we're going to judge prophecy. I've had people tell me stuff that was faker than a $4 bill. $5 bill. No, $4 bill. $5, never mind. Never mind. Y'all should know this. You understand what I'm talking about. Okay? All right, let's go on. Someone could ask you to pray about a need, and there could be a hidden motive. And their motive is to let you know the need so that you would meet the need. Oh, that was good. That was good. We're going to hit it all. I'm going to hit pastors. I'm going to hit singers. I'm going to hit congregation. Everything in here, there's something that the Lord gave me about it. Okay? So you could sing in front of people, or you could play instruments in front of people. And your inward motive could be to bring glory to yourself, your voice, or your skill, or your talent. Your motive, your inward motive that only the Lord could see, could be to shine a light on yourself. So the true motive must be to worship God with no ulterior motives. And is your motive pure? Is it to be an entertainer, or is it to be a worshiper? You understand? If it's a worshiper, you will receive a reward. We're going to get into the rewards thing too. If your motive is to get the credit, there's no reward for that. God can see the truth. Man can't see it, but God can see it. He sees the motives of our hearts. Why do some innocent people get killed? I'm talking about totally innocent people. Because they sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes this innocent person will get, somebody will attach themselves to their life in some shape, form, or fashion, and they had an ulterior motive the whole time this person did. It wasn't seen, but it was to harm this individual. Okay, and they got close to them, and that person trusted them. They didn't see that inward motive, and it caused their death. There's been a lot of situations like that. But so you... The thing about us as Christians, we have to discern, and the Lord will discern. He'll give us something. He'll say, I know that this person is trying to get close to you, but I'm trying to let you know with peace or not peace, stay away from them. Stay away from them. And it's not that you hate them. It's not malicious in you, but it's something in your spirit that's repelled, and maybe just at this time or something, but there's something that's keeping you away. You follow what's in your spirit. You understand? It'll keep you safe. Let's talk about other stuff. Let's say you're in sales, and your motive can't be, well, I'll get them to buy this policy, this product, this house, because I will make more money. I will make a bigger commission. A pure motive that will be rewarded is to look out for the best interest of the person, no matter what the commission is, no matter what the amount of money is. It's got to be about the person. Because God's looking at that pure motive to see if we're going to get a reward for it or not. Now, can I go deeper? Y'all going to start spitting it out. Are we okay? Well, okay, I'm going to go deeper then. Some Christians, when somebody else does their job, they hope they don't do it as well as they do it. That's a Jeopardy moment right there. I won't play it, but that is a Jeopardy moment. I hope they fall flat on their face. I hope they do. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I know y'all have only got neighbors. I remember one time I worked with this man. He was the most arrogant human being I've ever met in my entire life. And I don't say that lightly. I've met a lot of arrogant human beings. I have been an arrogant human being, so I can recognize them. So, I mean, this joker was arrogant, and I had put in for a different shift, another job at the same place, and so I was being transferred to another shift. I was going to work first shift, and I was on second shift, and this guy that was getting my job because I was switching to a different shift, the boss came to me, and he said, I want you to train him, and I knew that's the way they do, and I said, uh-huh, and I'm thinking, how am I going to train him? He knows everything about everything. I mean, he knows more than the Holy Spirit knows. How can I possibly show him anything? Because he already tells me everything about everything. You can't tell him nothing. Not one thing, because he knows it. He's got an opinion on it. He has said it out loud over and over. And I'm thinking, Lord, my God, I don't want to share nothing with him. I don't want to help him. And the Lord kept dealing with me. I want you to help him. I said, Lord, you help him. You know, why have I got to help him? If you don't let him call on you, let him find out. It wouldn't have went against the grain. I know y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but it went against the grain. But it did help him. I did what I knew how to. I even told him things that you only learn from doing the job for a while. Well, that didn't come easy. I had to really let the Holy Spirit work on me. You understand? He had to soften my heart. And I said, Lord, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Because I don't want, thank you. Thank you very much. I'll stop right there. Whew. See, a lot of times our motive is not right. See, my motive was not right. My motive was, I want this job to fall flat on his face. Because he told everybody how much he knows and how good he is. Let him be good and let him see there are things that he don't know. Thank you very much. But the Lord said, that's not who you are. That's a wrong spirit. That Jeopardy song again. Dun, 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 dun. I'm just doing it in my head. Okay. Whew. People with wrong motives want to draw attention to themselves. The Good News Translation in Matthew 6 and 3 in the NIV, this is so good. But when you help a needy person, do it in such a way that even your closest friend will not know about it. Now, let me qualify that. Does that mean that you're going to help people all the time and it's going to be in secret and nobody's ever going to know about it? That's not what he's saying. He said your motive. He's talking about your motive. If your motive is to be seen of men when you're helping somebody, your motive is wrong and he can't reward that. But he's saying just check your motive at the door is really what he's saying. So if your motive is to impress people, you won't have God's approval. You'll lose your reward. I'll give you another one. Back when I was in real estate, there was this guy that was looking for investments and stuff, and he asked me to find him some stuff, and I found him some stuff, and I was telling him about it one day, and he said, this one particular one, there was a lot of money to be made in it if you're an investor and you wanted to do it. And I showed it to him and was telling him about it, and he said, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. And he really just was just so arrogant and so hateful, and I'm thinking, I didn't come to you, you came to me. And I'm trying to find you. I'm looking out for your highest interest. I was. And he just shut me down. And I said, okay, no problem. And then a few weeks, a couple months later, I was showing another man who was an investor that I showed property to. And he bought a lot of stuff. And while I was meeting with him at his business, this other man was there. He was standing there. And I'm, waiting my turn. And this other man, I'm going to just identify him as the arrogant man. Can I do that? The arrogant man said, oh, yeah. He said, yeah, I want that property. That property you told me about, I want it. That's a property I want. And I want you to go ahead and make me an offer on it. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? You already told me you didn't want it. Don't bring you another one. What are you talking about? And I know what he was talking about. I knew it when he started doing it. I said, he wants to impress this other businessman. He wants him to think something. You understand what I'm saying? He's trying to impress him. Okay? And I talked to him for a second, and I had something to do with the other guy. He said, oh, yeah, go ahead and make that offer. I want you to make it today. I said, okay. I said, you'll have to sign it. He said, huh? I said, yeah, I'm not going to do a verbal offer. I said, I want you to sign it. He said, well, no, you can do it. I said, mm-mm. I said, I got a contract in the car. If you want to sign it, I'll let you do it right now. Alrighty then. Let's move right on. Okay, I'll give you another example. I'll give you a personal example of pretense. When I was a little kid, I was 5 or 6 years old. I was coming back from my aunt and uncle's in Columbus. My aunt and uncle had just bought a brand new car. It was about the size of a sardine can. Maybe it was two sardine cans, but it was little bitty. It was one of the littlest cars made at that time ever. I mean, it was so stinking small. And I'm sitting in the back seat with my cousin, and my aunt and uncle are in the front. And my aunt, it's the heat of summer. Y'all know how hot it is around here, how the humidity is around here. I mean, it's at the boiling point. And my aunt says, she said, "Let's roll up all the windows." She said, "We're going to make people think we got air conditioning in this new car." And I said, I wasn't, you know, the honor thing about honoring your elders and stuff, I didn't really have all that at that time. You understand? And so I said, it's 100 degrees. Why are we going to roll up the windows in this little bitty sardine can? Why are we going to do that? Because we want people to think we got air conditioning here. Then we're going to be riding by them and they're going to be going, "Look at that. They got air conditioning in that car." I said, "I don't care what they think." I said, "I want some air. I won't roll these windows down." I'm a little kid. I'm telling her this. No, no. So we sweated. I sweated all the way home. And probably even today, that's the reason there for so many years I was so hot-natured. It was because of that traumatic experience as a child. You understand that was pretense. It was trying to impress others, and she didn't have an air condition. You understand? Putting on airs when you don't have it. You can't afford it. Thank you very much. This has got a lot of meat in it. I just thought y'all would like it. It's got a lot of meat. Some people in the body of Christ, they're pretending to be Christians. I'll move along. They want to make a good impression. They want to fit in. But God knows they don't have a personal relationship with Him. And a lot of times we're seeing things only from a human point of view, not from God's point of view. From the outward appearance. Now, we could judge someone's motive that is wrong, and it seems very obvious to everyone that it's wrong. But their motive, their real reason for doing or not doing something, could be totally pure before the Lord. Can you see that? Amen. Even though it looks wrong to us, and it looks like they did it to hurt somebody, or it looks like they did it to impress somebody, but they really did it to obey God, or they've got a good reason for it. Now, my motive of my aunt was not pure. The reason I know that is because she told me, "We're going to try to impress people. We want people to..." You understand, that motive is not right motive. You got it. Okay. So we've all been in situations where people thought we did something maliciously to spite them or to get back at them. And from the outside looking in, it looked like that. People could say, "I know that's the reason they did that. They shouldn't have done that. Why did they do it that way?" Because you don't know the whole set of circumstances. You don't know the whole thing. We don't. We think we do. But God, who could see the hidden motives, knew that it wasn't true, even though it looked like it was malicious. Proverbs 16:2 again, contemporary English. We may think we know what is right, but the Lord is the judge of our motives. Let me give you a different example. Brother Hagin, I know I quote him all the time. He passed away many years ago, but he made this statement. He said somebody came up to his ministry, came up to him when he was after he finished one time in his ministry, and he said the Lord had been dealing with him about writing a book. He hadn't written one before, but he was in preparation. He's already started getting ready to write his book. And he said this guy came up and said to him, he said, "You know, if you wrote books, you could make a lot of money." And the second that man said that, the Holy Spirit checked Brother Hagin. And he said, Brother Hagin, his motive was pure, but he wanted to make sure it was pure. And he didn't say anything about it, but he put the book on hold. Why did he do that? He's given the Lord time to deal with him. If he does have an impure motive, he wants to wait it out. He's going to wait until his heart is right or pure in this situation before he does it. It can't be about making money. Well, hang on now. There's nothing wrong. Let me qualify that. There's nothing wrong with making money, but that can't be your motive. Can you see that? It can't be a motive of greed. It's got to be a motive that the Lord wants me to do it. And yeah, His blessings will follow anything He directs us to do. Okay, so he had to make sure his motive was right, and he waited. And you know he's wrote, oh wow, how many books now to help the body of Christ, been translated into so many different languages. But he was keeping his motives right. Okay, now let's dig a little deeper. Will y'all let me? Some of y'all going to let me. Some of y'all left. Y'all come on back. We're having church. We could do something supposedly for God for years and years, and receive no reward whatsoever because our motives aren't right. 1 Corinthians 16 and 14 in the Amplified, let everything you do be done in love, motivated and inspired by God's love for us. Now, we will receive a reward if our motives are right. There's going to be a lot of rewards that the Lord's going to give out. We know in His Word, He even talks about if we give water to a little one, I mean, we're a cup of cold water, there's a reward for that. So God's got the reward system down pat. There's no telling the rewards that we're going to get. And some of those rewards we think we're going to get, we're not going to get because our motives weren't right. That's kind of a sobering fact. And what happens is we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that is good news. Because when we die and we're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, it's like we're not standing at the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is the judgment for people that rejected Jesus. They didn't invite Him in their heart. All their sins were paid for. All they had to do was say, Jesus, I make You Lord of my life. But they rejected Him their whole life. So they're standing sinners. Now, I know a lot of people are confused on the sinners and saints. Once you become a Christian, you are a Christian that sins, but you no longer have the sin title of being a sinner anymore. Can you understand there's a difference? Sinners have never made Jesus Christ Lord of their life. He's not their Lord. Okay. So, if we're standing before the judgment seat of Christ, that's good, because that's where our rewards are going to come from. We're going to stand there and we're going to be shown things about our life. Now, and like I said, the great white throne judgment is where the judgment where people will be sentenced to hell for eternity. Sinners that rejected the Lord. But when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, that's Christians. Okay, we're there. I mean, we have arrived on that part. He's our Lord. Everything that we've done without the pure motive of love will be burned up. Now, okay, Romans 14 and 10. I believe y'all are still with me. I can feel it. I appreciate it. Why would you judge your brothers or sisters? This is the Passion Translation of Romans 14 and 10. Why would you judge your brothers or sisters because of their diet, despising them for what they eat or don't eat? For we each will have our turn to stand before God's judgment seat. I'll get a turn, you'll get a turn. Let's take that same scripture in the Amplified. But you, why do you criticize your brother? Or you again, why do you look down on your believing brother or regard him with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, who alone is judge. Okay, I'm going to take that one a step further. This is Romans 14 and 10 again, but this is in the plain English Bible. So then, it is God, not you, that can tell other Christians that they're wrong. Let's let that marinate for a minute. One of the biggest problems in the body of Christ is everybody correcting each other. Well, you're wrong in this, you're wrong in that, you're wrong in this, you're wrong in that. What about the areas in our own lives that we don't see that we're blinded to? I'm not talking about just living in sin. That's definitely not what I'm talking about. Because we shouldn't be living in sin as a Christian. That is wrong. There's a big difference between making a mistake or sinning and living a sinful life after you become a Christian. You understand? There's a total big difference there. So I'm going to read this again. I'm going to still read it slowly. So then it is God, not you, that can tell other Christians that they are wrong. I know I've hurt a lot of people today by saying those words, because there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that want to tell everybody they're wrong. You can think that you're better than other Christians. No, we've all got to stand in front of God one day. Then God will tell each of us the things that we did right and the things that we did wrong. That is so good. Wasn't a pure motive, our works will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. That's where our works will be revealed, whether our motive was pure or not. Okay, I'm going to go on. Philippians 1 and 15, this is in Passion. It's true that there's some who preach Christ out of competition. It's talking about preaching Christ out of competition. So many ministers are in competition with each other. You know, in ministry, one of the first things another minister will ask you, how many are you running? Well, I'm running 275. You only running 50, really? Wow, yeah, I'll pray for you. That's a big thing in it now. I mean, I'm serious. As if they're the ones doing it. Oh, this is much better preaching than y'all are. I don't know. I need the second team of people to come in now and hear the rest of the sermon. The first one, they're wore out completely. I can tell. They got no breath left in their bodies, undoubtedly. It's true that there are some who preach Christ out of competition and controversy, for they're jealous over the way God has used me. This is Apostle Paul talking. Many others have purer motives. They preach with grace and love filling their hearts. Now, Philippians 1:15 in the New Living says, it's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry competition, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. So, let's go here for a minute. You could pastor a church for 50 years, and at the judgment seat of Christ, your real motive was revealed that you wanted to be famous, or you wanted to be important, or you wanted whatever. And all those 50 years of your life's work could be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. And you would receive no rewards for all those years because your motive was wrong. It wasn't pure and it didn't please the Lord. I've heard a bunch of messages like this through the years. And I tell you, it'll purify your motive pretty quick. It'll start working on you when you're going to do something or you're thinking about doing something for the wrong motive. I mean, the Holy Spirit will use it to check you. You know, whoa. It only takes a minute to make the adjustment and get my motive right, but I better do that because I'm going to lose my reward. And I'll be honest with you. This is the 6.2 version, and I could be standing before the Lord any day, and I tell you, I want rewards. I want the rewards for living for Him. That He wants us to want those rewards. That's the reason He has us to go to the end, to endure to the end. I'm telling you, He wants us to do things with a right heart. If preaching and teaching, if our motive is to feed the people, that's a pure motive and it pleases the Lord, and there'll be a reward for that. Okay, I got a couple more scriptures for y'all, and then now I got three. Okay. Thank you. I mean it. Thank you. I'm down to one. Come on now. Everybody else is left. But thank you. Thank you for that one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Still got one. 1 Corinthians 4:5. This is in the Message. So don't get ahead of the master and jump to conclusions with your judgments before all the evidence is in. When he comes, he'll bring out in the open and place in evidence all kinds of things we've never even dreamed of. Inner motives and purposes and prayers. Only then will any of us get to hear the well done of God. And the New Living, it says, so don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time. Before the Lord returns, for He will bring our darkest secrets to light and will reveal our private motives. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due. This is the ERV version of the same scripture, easy to read. People think whatever they do is right, but the Lord judges their reason for doing it. Whew. I hope y'all received that. I tell you.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334 520-7538 or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.